The numbers told the story. They always do.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is A Numbers Game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It is all proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. Glad you could hang with us this morning. Gil Alexander, Jeff Parlay, producer number 5 and 8 is here as well. Jeffrey, Warriors. Listen, I've had enough of the blasphemy. Before this season, before the series started, and I won't name any names, but let's just say that finally by the second show that I do here, I out loud was like, I'm tired of the Warriors' disrespect. There's too much too cool for school. Celtics are the team here. Warriors now, and those of us who have futures tickets, I have a plus 550. Certainly not the best number, but got it early in the season when the Dubs and the Suns were the best two teams in the NBA by far. 48 minutes away from their fourth title in 8 years. 104-94 last night. Warriors get it done to take a 3-2 lead in the NBA Finals. Game 6 Thursday night. All 5 games so far decided by 10 points or more. Andrew Wiggins last night. The Andrew Wiggins game. 26-13 after a 17-16, by the way, in game 4 for Wiggins. Last night, first time leading the Warriors in the playoffs in scoring ever for Wiggins. And probably the best game of his entire 8-year career for the former number 1 overall, Andrew Wiggins. Klay with 21, made more threes, 5, than the rest of his teammates combined, who combined for 4. In a game that was exactly 3 years to the day since Thompson tore his ACL in his left knee, had surgery before later tearing his right Achilles tendon while working back from the first injury, forcing him to miss more than 2.5 years of basketball. Thompson hurt in the deciding game 6 of the 2019 NBA Finals, you remember. By the way, another anniversary, Steve Kerr coaching the Warriors on the 25th anniversary of his game-winning shot in Game 6 of the NBA Finals when the Bulls beat the Jazz to clinch their 5th title during the Jordan years. Steph Curry, 16 last night, 0-for-9 from behind the arc. First playoff game in his career without making a three, first time in 233 games, playoffs or regular season where he didn't hit a three, 132 postseason games where he didn't hit a three. First time he hasn't hit a three since going 0-for-4 in a 134-111 loss to the Bucks, November 18th of 2018. Payton 15, Poole 14, Draymond 8-8-7, and most importantly, the Celtics 1-for-10 when he contested a shot. I could go on and I will. But we have guests. Let's bring in Drew Dinsick, everybody, from the Deep Dive podcast and, of course, the Bet the Edge podcast from NBC Sports. You can follow him on Twitter, at @whale_capper, coming from a location that is not his usual. How you doing, Drew? What's happening?
Oh, you know, not bad. It's I think it was fair. Your glowing praise of all of the Warriors and what they did in Game 5 was very, very warranted. You know, I came out of that game thinking, my goodness, the Celtics found new ways to beat themselves. Maybe it's just because of where I sit in terms of my allocation.
Well, but, no, you're absolutely right. And I didn't even get to that part yet, which is probably the headline. So let me step in and say Celtics had 31 free throw attempts last night. The Dubs had 15. Celtics out rebounded the Warriors by 8, 47-39. But, and here's where you're going. They had 18 turnovers to the Warriors 6, including 9 Warrior steals. Warriors 22 points off those turnovers, 103 now for the series. And by the way, Celtics look like they can't make a free throw to save their lives.
Yeah, that's exactly. I mean, those are the main major problems. And I poo-pooed people who thought the experience was going to be a huge deciding factor in this series. But, you know, I think as I step back and look at this, I feel like this was a coin flip either way. And the experience factor might be exactly the kind of the X factor, the miscellaneous category factor that may be making the difference. Because when the going got tough, the Celtics imploded. They found ways to beat themselves. The turnovers were just absolutely appalling. If you've watched much Celtics basketball over the last 4 months, that, you know, there were signs of this, but definitely that was kind of a fourth quarter, like the body language, the way that they you know, effectively capitulated was something you haven't seen from this, you know, this group in a long time. And it's concerning, frankly. And you know, I think realistically the turnovers and giving the giving the Warriors extra possessions when, you know, you're in a very hard fought series with basically even teams is, you know, that's the way you lose a game. And, you know, credit to them for fighting back in the third quarter. You know, it felt like they were all of a sudden getting the shots that they got in the fourth quarter of game one that we haven't seen since. But the Warriors tightened it up defensively in a couple of masterful ways. They forced Jaylen Brown to dribble, drive, and, you know, they had some nice adjustments to stop what had been working when he was doing that and, you know, forced a couple of nice steals. And then on top of that, the Celtics just kind of let the refs, you know, the refs did, you know, kind of lose control of that game in a lot of ways, but that certainly wasn't the deciding factor. But, you know, the Celtics definitely let that get into their mindset in the, you know, the beginning of that fourth quarter. And, you know, you spot your opponent a 10-point lead with less than 10 minutes to play and you're in deep trouble.
Yeah, my favorite part of that game was Draymond strangely like trying to take the ball from Jason Tatum on the stoppage and just following Jason Tatum to the bench. Just fabulous behavior once again from Draymond.
Very, very weird guy.
He's an odd one. Let me ask you this. So I talk a lot about betting truth serum on this show for years. Which is to say, for those just landing on this for the first time, that there is no greater truth serum than betting truth serum. That when you have a bet on something, whether it's an NFL game, if you're on a side and the other team has a fourth and short, only you are the true arbiter of what the other team should actually do, because you're speaking through the lens of your money and you know what scares you and you know what doesn't scare you. Oh, thank God they punted. Oh, please don't go for it. That kind of thing. So yeah. I'm a guy with a Warriors ticket. And the thing that scares me the most, Drew, is Robert Williams. Because when he is in the game, I always feel like the Warriors are up against it. And when he's out of the game, I'm like, oh, you can breathe. Like, it just opens up. And so Robert Williams, 10 points, 8 boards last night. He had no limitations after aggravating a surgically repaired left knee in game 4. And I just wonder why he doesn't get more run.
I mean, it has to be health. He was a very quiet part of why the Celtics became the team that they did in 2022. He was not heralded. He was not lauded as the defensive player of the year candidate. They elected as a team to lobby for Marcus Smart. But Robert Williams, make no mistake, he was the most important part of that team defense over the balance of the second half of the season when they were the best team in the NBA. And I think, you know, the knee injury he suffered at the eve of the playoffs that kept him out through the first series and into the Bucks series is still obviously limiting him. And, you know, I think the Celtics were playing a little bit of a dangerous game in 3, 4, and 5 to see if they could win 2 of those games while not giving Robert Williams a full complement of minutes so that they could have him available for 6 and 7 if needed. And now they need him. And I think you're going to see a full complement of him in game 6. You know, at this point, you know, it feels like game 4 was, you know, a pretty clearly the tipping point of the series. And if the Celtics win this now, it's going to feel lucky more than they were the better team.
Celtics favored by 3.5. I mean, as you point out, this ain't over, right? We're just on serve, as they say. Obviously, the Warriors will have game 7 back in San Francisco if necessary. But Celtics favored by 3.5. If someone is just dropping off, Earth or onto Earth right now, and they're like, okay, I want to make a wager here. Do you play game 6? Do you play the Celtics at plus money for the series price now, having to go 2-0? Or are you like, hey, I would just back off and not do anything
here? Yeah. I think at this point the series price looks exactly correct to me. I think the game prices have adjusted reasonably well. There's a little bit of a premium to back the Celtics in game 6 because home court advantage has been overstated this entire finals. I think there is an edge to be had on Celtics, you know, team total in the first half, team total in the game. The under was an absolute slam dunk play in games 4 and 5. The market has adjusted appropriately. It's continuing to go down. Celtics, I think, realistically should see a lot better offense with the return to the Garden compared to what they had, and particularly in the first half of that game 5, and, you know, where they looked a little shell-shocked and a little like the moment was a little too big for any of those guys having experience before. So I think in game 6 at home, you'll see a better offensive performance from the Celtics. So I would bet it that way. I haven't made any bets on game 6 yet. And I think realistically, I just got to, you know, cross my fingers and hope for a little run good at this point. But, you know, if I have a rooting interest at this now, I would love to see the Celtics win by 1, 2, or 3 points. I have heard way too many people that don't really have much skin in the game say, just pick the winner. You know, don't worry about the points. The winner of the game, the winner has covered 82-0 or something. It's like, no, if you think that that there's a misprice between the game line and the money line, by all means, go and squeeze that edge, you know, and think you're going to win long term. Like, it's not a mistake. Like, there's no hidden edge there. You know, it's a very small, it's a very narrow window where, you know, the losing team covers a 3-point spread. And it just happens rarely enough that people think it never happens. That's and right. I would love to see that happen for two reasons. Number one, it would shut those people up. And then number two, you know, we'd have a little bit of value potentially to back the Celtics in game seven.
Drew, I'm so glad you said that so that I didn't have to. I'm just going to let that hang. I'm just like the whole time, kind of like, you do realize we're talking about, like a thin margin of a spread to begin with. Celtics, by the way, plus 290. Is that what I'm seeing on the adjusted price? Just to be thorough, yeah, plus 290.
That sounds about right.
In there, in that range. Celtics, first team losing back to back, first time rather losing back to back this postseason. They had a 7-game win streak after a loss that was tied for the longest in NBA history. The Warriors missed 31 3-point attempts. They were 9 of 40. That is tied for the second most in finals history for a winning team all time. We'll come back more with Drew. We'll talk golf, U.S. Open. Yes, golf's third major. Get his thoughts on that. And if he's betting any of these grass court tournaments here on the run-up to Wimbledon, the very, very narrow grass court season. Coming back on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Skill Alexander, I was saying yesterday, I don't even know if it was on this show or on primetime, which I do with Matt Kelly, but these next 5 weeks, we usually say, oh, summer, this kind of stinks. Well, later in the summer. But the next 5 weeks kind of, I mean, we have two golf majors. We have one tennis major. The NBA draft is in there. We got summer league here in town. College baseball World Series. We got four teams in the eight, in the final eight. Excited about that. We'll talk to Brad Porras momentarily about college baseball. By the way, also on the show today, Mark Borchard on Major League Baseball, Jonathan Von Tobel on the NBA a little later on as well, and Todd Wright on hockey. Drew Dinsick, kind enough to continue with us. Drew, it is a very narrow, very short grass court season, and the data the data is funky. It's not nearly as robust as we have on other surfaces, and I'm curious, Wimbledon is 2 weeks away. I'm curious, have you been betting this? And specifically, I wanted to know, did you bet any Tim Van Rijthoven?
Never heard of him.
That's exactly what I said. That's exactly what I said yesterday. So I'm like, this guy just won a grass court tournament as a wild card. By the way, he just got into Wimbledon as a wild card. That's no surprise.
Very cool. Very, very cool.
He crushed Medvedev. He crushed Fritz. He beat Ogier Aliassime. And I told Jeff, I go, I've never had him in a spreadsheet of mine ever. Ever. I didn't touch him in any of the matches because, like, it wasn't the day, like, even the short term data wasn't really there. So it's amazing. But you didn't have him either, I guess.
No. That's one of those that, you know, you look at the end of the year and you're like looking at everyone who won a title and it's like, excuse me? Who?
What?
Even seeing it happen, you know, especially in the moment where you knew Medvedev was going to wake up on Monday as the new world number one and he came out and played like that against that guy. But again, you know, we shouldn't be shocked of guys coming out of nowhere. I mean, Carlos Alcaraz did it this season. But this kid he's not even a kid. He's like 28. been around for a while.
And
he
Alcaraz
just has never broken through.
And Alcaraz, Drew, like I can remember betting Alcaraz on like clay court tournaments in the dead of night somewhere in South America. So like there was a buildup. If you follow this guy, literally nothing. Had played eight or nine ATP matches. Yeah. That's what makes sports.
That was incredible.
The greatest reality show ever. Do you bet? Are you betting these this week or next week?
Oh yeah, for sure. Last week. I get heavy into grass season. You know, once it's impossible to kind of cool off betting tennis after you are done with the French Open. It's just such a fun run of clay court season. I love rolling right onto grass. And, you know, the only hiccups really are the rain delays. The rain delays have been frustrating. But that aside, Stuttgart was a great tournament. Matteo Berrettini finding his serve was absolutely awesome. He looks very, very, very strong as far as a contender for the Wimbledon title, beyond Djokovic, if you're going to make anyone, you know, make a case for anyone. He's going up against Dan Evans here pretty shortly in London. If you have never watched the London tournament, that's one of the most fun non-slams, in my opinion. It's a really, really cool setting. They just put on a really awesome show, always just packed with fans. The fans really know how to kind of bring a good match, which is a pretty important part of tennis match if you're not used to like watching it live. The crowd matters, and it's always a good crowd. The Queen's Club in London, very cool setting for a tennis tournament. Very cool. You know, I'm going to watch a ton of these matches. Berrettini goes up against Evans here and momentarily, and this one should be awesome. I mean, just two guys whose serves are dialed in, who can construct points on grass in ways that other players can't. You need to be able to hit a flat forehand. You need to be able to find the right combination of different serves. You can't just be serving down the line. You need to be able to mix it up in terms of delivery. And both of these guys are playing well enough right now that I think you're going to see an awesome one there between Berrettini and Dan Evans. And realistically, a bunch of these younger players are finally, they're getting like their second or third or fourth time through on grass, so they're finally developing a little bit of familiarity with the surface, which I think is both on the men's and women's side going to make Wimbledon a lot more entertaining this year than it has been in years past.
Yeah, I had two plays on the ladies' side yesterday. We were both big dogs. One was a big dog. One was a colossal dog. Both forced third sets. Both did not get there. But it's sort of this thing. It's teasing me where I'm like, okay, I think I'm grabbing a hold of this, but it hasn't quite manifested yet. The only one I have today, I'm playing Beatriz Haddad-Maia, who I did have in the championship last week's tournament. I believe it was in Nottingham.
Great breakout for her.
Breakout. First maiden title for her.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit of a quick turnaround from that, taking on Petra Kvitova, who we know short-term hasn't been all that great, but long-term has been a great grass court player, but nice price on Haddad-Maia. But that is the only one I have today. You have any specific picks that you wanted to give out?
Most of my tennis today is in the books. I do have a play on Ons Jabeur, who I'm the most excited to see return to grass. She's taking on Muhova in Berlin as the final match of the day there. And I think realistically, she's priced in the minus 250 range. I make it more like minus 350. I bet into her to win minus 1.5 sets at plus 120. That's moved to like minus 105-ish. But I think if you shop around, you might still be able to find a plus money price on Ons Jabeur to win in straights over Muhova.
All right. I might have thrown Jabeur into a money line parlay in tennis. Just want to point that out.
An EV bet of my money. Yeah. Buy my money.
Yeah. Threw her in there. Okay. I know you don't have a lot to say about the U.S. Open yet, which is this week at Brookline, the country club there in Brookline, Mass. I keep thinking about a comment you made a couple weeks ago when I was talking about LIV Golf versus the PGA Tour. And you were the first person, because everybody has really strong opinions on this. And you were the first person, by the way, Serena Williams will be back at Wimbledon. I'm just seeing across the screen. I think that was the last time we saw her as well, right? Was that Wimbledon?
Yeah.
What she got her? So she's on the
Not way, a contender, so. But boy, that will make it more interesting.
Yeah, not a contender, but fun to have her as she chases her 24th Grand Slam, trying to tie Margaret Court still. You were the guy who said, and I remember this, it stuck with me, you're like, I think it's a cultural hiccup, talking about LIV Golf. That was your line.
I'm hoping.
And what's that? What'd you say? You hope so?
I was hoping.
Yeah.
I hope so.
I don't know. You might be right? Like, I'm not sure yet because, so the guys, 13 guys who played this, you know, who are playing or scheduled to play in the Saudi-backed tour are playing in the U.S. Open. The press conferences have been super awkward. Like,
yes.
In the one respect, like the reality show part of it, I am so into. And this is – so this is – we don't usually talk about crowds being a factor at golf tournaments, but I am curious if you think – it's Bethpage. Anybody familiar with that, right? It's like that New York crowd is just going to be all over these guys, one would think. Is there part of your handicapping as a guy who does things by numbers, is there a part of your brain that is going to be like, well – you know, I might just fade Phil in everything because he is going to get harassed.
I faded Phil last week. He got supported by the crowd, but he was in matchups up against Charles Schwartzel, and Schwartzel was in like the minus 160 range on the open and closed like minus 200. And Schwartzel wins, and you know, Phil was an afterthought.
By the way,
Phil's golf right now, not very solid.
By the way, I said Brookline, and then for some reason I said Bethpage. Obviously, Brookline, the country club in Massachusetts. But that is a crowd that'll get all
over. It's a Northeast crowd. Yeah.
It's a Northeast crowd.
I'm hopeful that they're critical of them. I'm hopeful that they give these guys the business. They deserve it. This was stupid. It's going to really put pressure on the game of golf. And if you are a golf fan, you should be annoyed by this, frankly. Yeah. The product I didn't think was very good. It feels cheesy and stupid. And like, you know, the idea of, you know, the Saudi golf wanting to capture some, you know, amount of something prestigious worldwide and, you know, use that to kind of gloss their image. Okay, fine. But, you know, they're doing it in a way that makes it feel like a joke. I mean, the most run that whole ordeal last week got in social media was like the release of like the ridiculous drafting and the team names and the team logos, which were all just an absolute punchline. Like, oh, okay. Like, congratulations. You have a foothold in the world of golf now, but you've turned it into a joke. Like, this is, you know, I don't think that the quality of play was especially good. I don't think these fields are very good. I don't think the guys that are choosing to leave for the money are really, you know, going to impact the bottom line of the PGA events and their competitive nature. Now that can all change. Like if some of the names at the top of the odds leaderboard here, besides Dustin Johnson, decide to pull the switcheroo, then, you know, now we have a little bit more of a story. But at this moment, it feels still like an afterthought to me.
So you have no bets thus far on this?
No, I have a little bit of Sam Burns at a 30-ish to one price, and that's come in a little bit. I'll be pulling for Burns.
Yeah, I have Burns. I made 5 outrights yesterday. Burns is definitely one of them.
Let's go Burns.
Let's go Burns. Drew, appreciate it, man. Thank you so much.
Hey, best of luck, Gil.
Grass court season, always fun. Even more fun with Drew. Thank you, man. @whale_Capra. I'll give you those golf plays on the other side. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? The betting splits page is updated every 10 minutes so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public's betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits yet another way. That VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. Gil Alexander, Jeff Partlay is here as well. Jeff, I went ahead and made 5 outrights. I don't bet golf on a weekly basis, but bet 5 yesterday, including Scotty Scheffler, which for me is just a sort of must bet. Also in there, Justin Thomas, Max Homa at around 55-1. Daniel Berger, also close to 60-1. But the one bet, and we just alluded to it with Drew, the one number that I still cannot understand. Like, if I said to you, okay, who's been the best golfer? Who do you think the best golfer in the world is right now? Let's just even rankings. I know it's corroborated by rankings. But if I said to you, who's been the best golfer in the world for the last year, you would say who?
Man, I'd still probably lean Scheffler.
Me too. Scotty Scheffler.
That might be recency bias.
I don't think so. I'd say Scotty Scheffler. He's always there. If he's not winning, he's always lurking. Now, JT obviously had the great PGA comeback. But if I asked you, like, who's the best, who literally is the best golfer out there for the last calendar year besides Scheffler? Isn't Sam Burns maybe the answer to that question?
Like Cam Smith?
Cam Smith, maybe, but why is Sam Burns still priced this way? And I always use my buddy Tommy in DC as sort of the the great barometer of such things with casual sports fans. He's not a casual sports fan. He's a huge sports fan. He's a huge football fan, right? And then follows all other sports not in quite the same way. I think that represents a lot of American sports fans. But if I said to him, you're familiar with Scottie Scheffler, he'd be absolutely. Are you familiar with Sam Burns? I'm not sure he would be beyond a very cursory familiarity with Sam Burns. So I grab Sam Burns. You can still get him as, I mean, what's the lowest you're seeing him? 25 to 1? Some people, a lot of people have him at better prices than that. Again, U.S. Open, the Country Club at Brookline in Mass. Brookline, starting on Thursday. And this is what I love about this, Jeff. Traditional U.S. Open. Just really, really punitive rough. Scores are going to be hard. Scoring is going to be hard to come by. Cannot wait to watch this.
Greens are microscopic.
Yeah.
It's the second smallest set of greens that they play on, period. Only Pebble Beach is smaller greens.
You have any bets yet?
I have nothing as of this moment. The only thing that I will consider probably is that Morikawa's prices have really drifted. I know he's not playing great.
He's another one.
But if you're going to give me 30 to 1 on Colin Morikawa to win a major, that's kind of one where you just take a small piece and whatever happens, happens.
In fact, I asked the question of others. I'll ask it of myself, which is, who's the guy who, if he wins it, you'll have the most self-loathing and regret? I think it's Morikawa for me because I've thought about him a couple times but have not made a bet yet. I think I probably want a piece of that. But how many outrights can I actually have? Five for me is just an amazing number for me to have. I don't know what happened to me yesterday. I just got all excited because the college baseball winnings were coming in. I'm like, okay, I'll just bet some golf here. Now, how awkward would it be? Because I asked, Wes said this accurately yesterday. He's like, wow, could you imagine? Canadian Open this past week, the PGA Tour couldn't have asked for better names at the top. Rory McIlroy, Justin Thomas. Not to mention Sam Burns, Tony Finau. They were all up towards the top of the leaderboard. The PGA couldn't have asked for a better, you know, representation of their players against the first LIV golf tournament this past weekend. Let me go the opposite on you. How awkward will it be if, say, a Dustin Johnson wins this tournament? Are you secretly rooting Jeffrey Parlay for a Dustin Johnson? I'll just use him as maybe the most likely in terms of the betting market. Of the players who played who have committed to the LIV Golf Tournament, are you secretly rooting for Dustin Johnson to be in contention on Sunday just for the drama?
No, I'm rooting for Phil to be in contention on Sunday. He's the one more than anything because he was obviously, other than Tiger, I know he's obviously hit Tiger's arch nemesis in the beginning of Tiger's dominance, but Phil kind of did this heel turn back to being really popular again. I mean, everyone loved it when he won the PGA last year. And now everything that's come out since that.
I am one of these people who has never warmed to Phil Mickelson.
No, and you're not alone on that.
Yeah.
But he's the one. Forget DJ. DJ, I don't think regular people care that much about Dustin Johnson. I think if Phil is some, and I Phil's plus 280 to make the cut for a reason. But
Matt Brown, who is a big Matt and Kelly, who I do primetime action with, they are big golf bettors. They do everything by model. And one of Matt's big things was this week, or is, fading Phil every which way he can possibly fade Phil. Now, in the state of Nevada, we have difficulty doing that. So he was saying last night, if we didn't have primetime action last night, he was saying he would have driven to Arizona and bet every matchup versus Phil that he could find. That's how strongly he feels like the crowd will be all over Phil in this tournament. Like that alone, I cannot wait to watch. I'm all about harassment on a golf course. Give me some conflict.
And it's in Brookline. You're dealing with Massachusetts, which is
what were you going to say there? What are you going to call them? Mass?
No. I'm disciplined on the air.
I'm curious.
But no. I mean, you're in a scenario where if it was there or Bethpage, really would have been the two places that really, you know, they would be giving it to Phil the whole time, and they will be giving it to Phil. They'll be giving it to all those guys who are playing on the LIV Tour now. I mean, what is it going to be for DeChambeau? Oh, my goodness.
Oh, man.
I mean.
Man, oh, man. Let me ask you about the back to basketball for a second, because you and I haven't had a chance to talk about this because we dove right in with Drew this morning. Again, Warriors up 3-2 now. Game six, possible clincher, possible fourth championship in 8 years for the dynasty that is the Dubs. Once again, Celtics favored by 3.5 or 4, wherever you're looking. By the way, Tatum 27-10 in defeat yesterday. We didn't mention that. Boston trailed by 12 at the half. And then what was always the hallmark of the Warriors that you could always count on? And what I argued is, going into last night's game, while Steph's legacy maybe catapulted the most, maybe it was Steve Kerr's beyond his with the Warriors that catapulted even further, because we've always known about this Warriors third quarter thing, but it has been front and center this whole NBA Finals until last night, where the Celtics flipped that, scored 35 points in the third quarter. That deficit, that the 12-point halftime deficit, disappeared in a blink. And Boston, who had made, they missed their first 12 threes in this game. They had made 8 in a row at one point. And then Jordan Poole hits that 33-foot banker with 0.1 left on the clock to give the Warriors the lead heading into the fourth, 75-74. But I'll ask you the same question I've asked you pretty much every game we've had in here, which is, from game to game, like, is there any betting that you even want to touch with these games individually?
No, I'm staying with what I said the whole time. I don't think this series is really bettable from a pre-flop perspective. And this Celtics team, and there's no arguing that they're very good, Gil, but isn't it odd at this point that we're 5 games into the NBA Finals and we have absolutely no idea what we're getting on them from a game-to-game basis?
Well, I liked your comment yesterday, which was, you used the word proclamation, which I found interesting, because it's the correct sort of amusing word to use. There was this seeming proclamation, like, we've just decided, or the betting markets have decided, that Jason Tatum's the best player on this team, and that's all there is to it. We so sure about that? Like, if you look at the MVP stuff, which, by the way, Steph is still going to win, despite Wiggins having 2 great games, despite Clay scoring more than 20 in a couple games. Steph's still going to win it if the Warriors win it. By the way, I think the Steph will win it if the Celtics win it. That possibility took a hit yesterday, for sure. But the notion that Jason Tatum that Jaylen Brown is so much longer in price than Jason Tatum is, makes no sense in the betting market. Like, before last night's game, you could get Jaylen Brown at 6-1. Now you can get Jaylen Brown at 25-1. Isn't that the best bet right now? Like, if you believe the Celtics are going to come back and win this series, isn't Jaylen Brown at 25-1 the best bet going?
I think it has to be. No one was particularly good for Boston last night. I even thought Tatum, even though his numbers look okay on paper, I didn't think he played that great either. So, but 25-1 on Jaylen Brown is probably the only bet right now.
I have a plus 550 on the Warriors, as I said earlier, and I've said many times. Forgive me for repeating that. I might even want to take some Jaylen Brown at 25-1. I'm not, but I'm thinking that's just a good bet, period. I don't think the Celtics are coming back and winning, but if you do, Celtics are what, plus 290 on the adjusted series price? Jaylen Brown 25-1. Why is Jason Tatum, by acclamation, the guy? Don't get it. JVT next. He's got thoughts. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The action never stops at BetMGM. Sign up now using bonus code VSiN1000, and your first wager is risk-free up to $1,000. BetMGM, state-of-the-art app, offers a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, player props, daily boosted odds specials, and much more. No matter what your favorite sport is, You'll find out why nothing beats a win at the King of Sportsbooks. Simply download the BetMGM app today. It won't take you but a few seconds. Or go to BetMGM.com and enter bonus code VSIN1000 to make your first wager risk-free up to $1,000. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. New customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offers not available in Nevada. Skill Alexander. JVT standing by. We'll talk some more NBA with him. But I wanted to just sort of advance this a little further. Well, first of all, we get tweets at Beat in the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. This is from Backyard Shanty. He said, Drew, well said on Numbers Game about live golf betting used to gloss over the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia horror. 100% correct. No question about that. This is from Dead Rail. Gil, why is nobody giving these American courses that book the live tour dates? I think he stopped his sentence there, but giving them some guff, I guess, is what he means. Everyone is on the Players, which I agree, but these courses should not be allowed to host a PGA Tour event either. That's a solid point, Dead Rail. No one is giving those courses some guff, my word. Probably should be. Absolutely. This is also just talking about the NBA Finals once again, and sort of getting back to the point I was making earlier about if you believe the Celtics are going to come back and win Game 6 and 7, adjusted series price on the Celtics is plus 290. The Finals MVP market has Jason Tatum at plus 350 and Jaylen Brown at 25-1. Marcus Smart, by the way, 100-1. But my point being that Jaylen Brown at 25-1 is probably the best bet on the board if you're a Celtics backer right now or a Celtics believer. StatMuse tweet, Jason Tatum has 95 turnovers this playoffs. I know, full playoff. The most by a player in a single postseason ever. Again, that's your NBA, that's your Eastern Conference Larry Joe Bird trophy winning Eastern Conference Finals MVP Jason Tatum. 95 turnovers now for the entire postseason. And from Stats by Stats, which we always quote Stats by Stats, typically when I'm talking about, I believe it's Michael Lopez, is that Stats by Stats? Hope I get that right. I want to give him full credit. But Stats by Stats we always bring up on this show. No, that's Stats by Lopez. That's somebody else. So different Twitter accounts. Stats by Lopez is the one where I always say, hey, the randomness of postseason sport by sport, that 80% roughly of favorites in the NBA playoffs get through their series, 80% of favorites. For that to happen in hockey, you have to play a best of 51. For it to happen in baseball, you'd have to play a best of 75. That's how random those sports are if you're trying to get 80% of favorites through. That's Stats by Lopez. Stats by Stats, different account, had this to say again about last night's game because we were talking about how the Celtics just throwing the ball all over the yard. Warriors' first team in NBA history to miss 30-plus three-pointers. Remember, they missed 31 threes last night, 9 of 40. Shoot at least 15 fewer free throws than their opponent. Remember, that was 31 to 15, I believe. Have a rebound margin of minus 5 or worse. Got outboarded by 8. And yet still win the game, regular season or postseason. Teams had been 0-27 all time with that combo of stats. And yet, the Dubs, 48 minutes. Once again, from their fourth title in 8 years, we bring in our senior NBA analyst, co-host of The Edge here on the network, which he does with Matt Humans, is Jonathan Von Tobel, also host of Hardwood Handicappers, which I think he's been doing a podcast after every single NBA Finals game. How did that go for you last night, JVT?
Well, yeah, I did the nightcap last night too, so I got to watch the whole game while we were on the air yesterday. And yeah, you were kind of ripping off some of the numbers and stats. Like that was a really good win for Golden State. That was like the full team effort. This had been kind of Steph on his own for the entire series, but you saw everybody contribute, whether it was scoring, whether it was defense. I thought it was a brilliant performance from Golden State yesterday. It was vintage Warriors yesterday.
Vintage Warriors, I asked this of Drew earlier. It's the betting truth serum thing. So again, for those of us who are backing the Warriors, you take the betting truth serum and you ask us, and then you ask us, okay, what really scares us? What still worries me about this now? Obviously, series not over. Series going back to Boston where the Celtics will be favorites in Game 6. And the answer, John, is when Robert Williams is in, I really do feel like the Warriors are pushing a rock up the hill. It's the old Sisyphus thing. I feel like they're playing uphill because he is just a menace out there. When he's off the court, it's like you breathe a little bit, you exhale, you're like, okay, we got this. Why is he not playing more? Is it health? Because I thought he was cleared, without restriction yesterday.
Yep. No, I agree. Because if you look at, there's a couple of things. First off, to your point, to give some numbers to it, through five games, Celtics are plus 31 in 126 minutes with Robert Williams on the floor. That's the team best. With him off the floor, the Celtics are minus 42 in 114 minutes. So, like, they look pretty lost. Yesterday, it's a feat in and of itself to be plus 11 like Robert Williams was, with every other role player was minus in terms of their plus minus. He is, like, the guy. And I would agree with all that, and I agree with the sentiment that he should be playing more. Udoka has, what he's been doing with these lineups is, he'll start with his two bigs. He'll go Horford. He'll go Williams. And Williams is usually the first guy off, and he'll leave Horford out there as the lone big. I think you got to reverse that. Like, Horford played three more minutes yesterday. He was minus 19. He has not handled this drop coverage against Steph Curry very well. They have abused him, the Warriors have, on that end of the floor. Yeah, I'm with you. Like, you've got to flip these roles. You've got to make Robert Williams your primary guy. And as you mentioned, maybe it's health. But like you said, they cleared him yesterday. Williams himself said the 2 days off really helped. He's getting another 2 days off here. And the numbers speak for themselves. And Steve Kerr has adjusted. He has done so many things. He has tinkered. He has changed lineups. He has done all this stuff. And now it's an Ime Udoka, who is down 3-2, to at least budge a little bit here. And I think Clay, who should have been the defensive player of the year, if not for that injury he suffered at the end of the season. I completely agree with you.
Yeah, and I think Steve Kerr, to your point, I really think beyond Curry, his legacy has taken the biggest leap forward with how they've with the exception of last night, the third quarters, the adjustments. I really think he's been masterful as well. What about what I said earlier here, which is the MVP market right now? Steph, obviously, the big favorite, minus 350. That makes sense. But if you're a Celtics believer, if you believe the Celtics can win game 6 and 7, why is Jason Tatum plus 350 and Jaylen Brown 25-1? Like, shouldn't you be betting Jaylen Brown?
I agree. I agree with that wholeheartedly. As with somebody with the 13-1 ticket on Jaylen Brown, too, I think he is still the most likely Celtic to win this award. So, and I like Tatum has not been good in this series in any way whatsoever. People are going to look at last night's numbers and think he was. He wasn't. And especially with the turnovers and the way he played in the fourth quarter, he was not good in any way whatsoever. Brown has been their most consistent player, and he's been the most impactful player in their victories. But may I, as we were talking about this, suggest in a certain market, I think it's out in William Hill, and if you have it in your jurisdiction, like New Jersey, whatever it is, Robert Williams is 1,000-1 to win this award. And I get it, like when we're talking about like teams like the Warriors, there's no other player that's going to win that other than Steph Curry. But no Celtic has really separated himself other than Jaylen Brown. And you really got to look at the numbers to give Jaylen Brown that case. I just threw some numbers at you in terms of how impactful Williams is. Uh-huh. If Udoka makes these adjustments, he's their lone big. He does what he does defensively. They go on to win these next two games, and he's got really good defensive performances. Why wouldn't it be a guy like Robert Williams to win this award, who I think has been the most impactful Celtic defensively for sure, and I think we notice when he's not out there, you know?
God, John, I wish these voters were as nuanced as you are. Yeah, I really do, because I don't disagree with you, but like, you know, then it's human beings voting, and we all know how that goes. All right, so we have about a minute left. So brass tacks this for me. I know you're a guy with some really nice Celtics futures. How are you feeling right now? Like, what do you think happens here the rest of the way?
So I wouldn't lie if I was not feeling nervous, especially given the fact that they lost the game, which Steph Curry did not hit a three-point shot.
Right.
But, you know, this is a series that had the potential to be a really long one. This is not to say that, you know, I've been getting guffs for my belief in the Celtics almost like it's a slide against the Warriors, and it's not. Like, the Warriors are a good team. I just felt like the Celtics are the better team. I still think they're going to win this series. I don't think there's really any reason to believe not. I think we've seen now this Warriors team now, I think it's like 103 or 108 points scored off of turnovers, the missed free throws yesterday, too, for the Celtics. If they stop shooting themselves in the foot, I mean, we've seen the results. They could be a very good team. They can look like the clearly better team in this series if they consistently perform. Just hasn't been the case. So I've got faith that they're going to go out in game 6, win this game, and extend it to 7. And we've seen what they've done on the road. So I am nervous. The heart rate is elevated a little bit. But I do think that this is obviously still there for the taking for a Celtics team who did the exact same thing against the Milwaukee Bucks. Was down 3-2, went on to win the next two games and win the series. So nervous, but I still think that I have faith that this Celtics team will pull it off.
Real quick, you laying the points in game 6?
No, I think I'm at a point now, Gil, where I'm just going to sit back and sweat this thing out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Given my position, so I don't think I'll be involved.
I'm with you. We're all at that point, for sure. JVT, yep. I'd wish you good luck, but I'm on the Warrior side. But enjoy, let's put it that way.
Good to talk to you, man. Thank you.
You too. Jonathan Von Tobel, everybody. At me, JVT, on Twitter, our senior NBA analyst, co-host of The Edge. The podcast is Hardwood Handicappers. Mark Borchardt on baseball next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.